Okay, let's turn to the prayer guide. We'll begin there. Start at the top with the invocation. Say that together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Say the verse for this week together from Romans 8. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. All right, the third petition of the Lord's Prayer. Say that together. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does this mean? The good and gracious will of God is done even without our prayer, but we pray in this petition that it may be done among us also. How is God's will done? God's will is done when he breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come, and when he strengthens and keeps us firm in his word and faith until we die. This is his good and gracious will. All right, for our meditation, I printed it out for you so you can follow along. There's a few of them passing around. I'll just give this back. I didn't know how many people would be here, so... There's an opening question at the top. Think about that as you're receiving your copy. You can have like 40 of them. There's a whole set. Okay.
Before we hear from the scripture, I wanted you to think of this question. It seems pertinent to what we're talking about today. What do you expect from your local congregation? What is necessary? What is helpful? And what is pleasant or useful or pleasing to you, I guess is what I mean. Think about that for a moment. You can write it down if you want or just kind of meditate upon it. Maybe to answer the question, then, it would be helpful to hear the scriptures. So here's from Acts chapter 2. This is St. Luke's description of the Jerusalem church. Follow along on your sheet there. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. This is at Pentecost, remember? And now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off and as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. There ends the reading. All right, so first question. This is a really, really brief Bible study for you. I will not go an hour like we usually do. From the text above, what did the first Christians understand as essential to the church? What were their priorities, and where did these priorities come from? What do you think? You can just blur them out, it's fine.
Baptism.
Baptism, yeah, big one. Right? Repent and be baptized, right at the beginning there. So you could underline that if you like. Baptism. What else was essential or important?
Communion.
Yeah, communion. Fellowship. Where do you see communion? You see it in fellowship?
No, I'm saying fellowship.
In the breaking of
bread. Oh, in the breaking.
Communion.
Yeah, good. In the breaking of bread, that is obviously a technical term for the Lord's Supper. And fellowship can be. It can go either way. It can either mean the Holy Communion, like we say, right, the Lord's Supper. It can also mean the gathering together, the church, the ecclesia. And given that it would be redundant to say communion and communion in a row, most understand that to be the church. The fellowship is the gathering of the people together. And then the breaking of the bread is communion. So we have church, we have Lord's Supper, we have baptism. What else do you see? They looked out for each other. Yeah, where is that? Yeah. Yep. They had all things in common, right? So they looked out for each other, right? But then there's more, right? In 45, they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need, right? So you might say those are tithes, you know, supporting the church, taking care of each other, but also offerings, taking care of the people in need in the community. Mercy, we would say, okay? So you have mercy, you have tithes. We already said baptism, Lord's Supper, and church. What else? We said fellowship. Yeah, fellowship we said was church. It's dense, right? There's quite a bit here. What's that?
Praising God.
Where's that?
47.
Yeah, and also you could probably connect at the beginning of 46, continuing daily with one accord in the temple. That's what you do in the temple. They were going to church every day, which is kind of an amazing thought, isn't it? Every day going. This was a big change. It was a monumental time, really, and it changed their lives. Yeah, but praising God, good. So that's liturgy or worship, good. What else do you see there?
That the church grew.
Yeah, the church grew, but what do we call it? When the church grows, we usually attach that to our witness, right? Or evangelism. But notice who gets the credit for it. Who's the subject?
The Lord.
And who's the one running the verbs? Who's the one doing the doing? The Lord, right? He's the one adding. Good. Right, so you have witness there. Am I missing anything? Anything else?
I like the simplicity of
it. Yeah, where was that?
That's in 46. We shouldn't make things so complicated.
Yeah.
Let's be simple about things.
They ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Was that attached to the temple? Or was that attached to the doctrine? The simplicity of heart? Was it attached to the breaking of bread or the prayers?
I would think it would be attached to
Yeah, eating food with gladness, right? So this was a big deal in the ancient world. They attached a lot to the eating of food. Table fellowship is something that St. Luke especially, both in Luke and Acts, is very concerned about. Who eats with who, right? And Jesus, what was Jesus' big... what was the thing that... one of the things the Pharisees were most offended about Jesus that he did? He ate with sinners, right? Which he does with us every week. Yeah, he ate with sinners. And so simplicity of heart is, I think it's attached to everything from 46 on. So continuing daily, breaking bread in their house, eating food with gladness and simplicity of heart. But it's hard to say because the grammar can go either way on that one. But simplicity of heart, it's not wrong. I mean, we have a really simple faith. And our faith is so simple that, you know, a 6 or 7-year-old is confirmed in our church. It's not... because it's not that complicated. Lord's Prayer, the Creed, right? 10 Commandments. What is baptism? What is the Lord's Supper? What's confession? So it's very simple. I agree. Anything else there?
Prayer.
Yeah, the prayers. And prayers are interesting. That could be daily prayer. That can be a key word too, referring to liturgy or worship, right? So it could go either way on that. And both are included in that, probably. Certainly, by 46, you have them worshiping daily in the temple, hearing the Psalms and the Old Testament readings, but understanding them differently, understanding them in the context of the New Testament, of Jesus Christ. Okay, very good. So maybe considering this text, one of the things, the survey caused some problems because a lot of people didn't want to think critically about grace. They thought that meant that they had to be kind of angry or upset or disappointed or, you know, be negative. But to think critically about yourself or about this congregation or about the Christian church at large isn't to necessarily be negative. It's to actually take off the blinders and say, you know, what's really important? What's good? What are the things we need to improve upon? And we're always looking as followers of Christ, as disciples, to improve. So from this, are there things, you know, of those priorities, of those essentials, are there, you know, how might it change your expectations as a member of the congregation? Maybe how does that text, Acts 2, emphasize the strengths and expose the weaknesses of grace? What do you think? Apostles' doctrine, the scriptures, is that a weakness or a strength? Yeah, I think you're probably right about this thing. Breaking of bread, we celebrate the Lord's Supper each week. How about the fellowship, the koinonia, the gathering together? Yeah, we have iffy, kind of both. Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I look at as a pastor is I say, you know, how often are people in church, right? I mean, how regular are they in hearing God's word? And, you know, we have people all over the map that way. We have some that attend once a month. We have some that attend every week. And then we also have limitations when you talk about fellowship. You know, how in tuned are we to each other's need, right? You know, what would be, if somebody, Roy Fell, with Eileen Fell on Roy, he'll make a point of that if you talk to him. It's Eileen's fault. The woman made me do it. Yeah. I told him, just, you know, suck it up. You're the man, you know. Well, anyway. Yeah, what were you going to say? Oh, that was Sunday morning. You know, there was a grapevine that kind of went on. Eileen is pretty much the grapevine. So she, I think, shared that with most of you. And you kind of knew what was going on because you had visitors all week. But how many of you didn't know what happened last week? Yeah, I see quite a few. So, you know, we want to know when somebody's in need so that we can pray for them, so we can support them in their need, etc. So maybe that's a strength and a weakness. Okay. What else? Baptism? I don't think that's necessarily an issue, right? Everything's centered on our Lord Jesus Christ, you notice through the whole text. So hopefully you get that from what we do, that everything's about Jesus, giving you Jesus. Say it louder, Chris. Yeah, one thing in common, or having all things in common as anyone has need. You know, the whole time that I've been here, at least, it's been a constant. Something that I've heard from you is a struggle is, you know, the budget, the offerings, the receipts, and I've been especially in tune to the fact that since I've been here, we've cut our mission spending from, I think when I got here, it was about $10,000 to zero today. You know, so that does seem to be a little bit of a weakness. We take door offerings for missions if we collect for mission. I think one of the things I'd want to point you to here, if I could, it's towards the end, verse 46, 47. You mentioned having one thing in common. But notice at the end of 40, or right at the middle of 47, praising God and having favor with all people. Why were the Christians understood as being favorable? Why did people appreciate the Christians? Why were they in favor?
They had a good rapport with everybody.
They had a good rapport, and it's based upon what? Yeah, that they're taking care of the people in need. It's based on the mercy. It's based on the mercy. You know, a lot of times we connect our outreach to communities as being, you have to proclaim the gospel, which is true, we do. But that isn't what Jesus sends us into the world to do, primarily. He sends his pastors to do that. He sends the church to do that. But each of you individually, he sends you out both doing that, but really mercy work, taking care of the people in need. I don't know who's in need in this community. I just don't know. You don't know, I mean, do we have homeless? I don't know.
Does anybody knock on your door anymore?
Mm-mm. No. So, yeah, they used to. Maybe the demographic has shifted in Dyer, that it's more, or maybe it's not high enough, you know. Once you get to a certain level, you get people knocking on the door all the time because they perceive you as being a wealthy community, right? So mercy is the reason, at least from this text, that people were coming to them and that they were in favor. And then through that, the Lord added to their number. So that's the other, you know, weakness people have talked about. It was in the survey. You know, where are the members? Can we grow? How this is the picture that St. Luke gives by the Holy Spirit to say, here's what the church looks like. And you desire growth in your number. If the Lord grants it, he's going to do it by these means. Through the preaching of the gospel, through administration of sacraments, through acts of mercy to those in your congregation and those in need in your community. That's the picture he gives here. It does kind of seem like a communist picture, though, doesn't it? Having all things in need and they're sharing to each other. We see later in Acts, it's described in greater detail, is that there were some wealthy members that sold like their vacation property and sold that for the use of the poor. But the money ran out, actually, and that's what St. Paul was asked to raise funds from all the Gentile churches for the church in Jerusalem. All right, so just a little Bible study. We'll do that.